In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If loving Gogi is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
It tickles my fancy.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not.
Wait.
Yeah, that's true, you do got me.
Get over here, Marcos. Let me look here.
They don't want it!
Toby and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit it with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy, okay. Leroy and Tobin, hold to the show, man. Stairs on the stars with the show, and till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a liar, better mode in. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never traded him. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side floor. Goose like a large, so many more. 10 in the more, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the more, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever. Cuties can be, you can watch this on YouTube with you for free. This one time for the Twitch, this one time for the text, this one time for the phone line, whole time wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Ah, no, I need it for my mic. Mic is blue chewing a serious way.
Oh my goodness.
Falling a little flaccid over here. Welcome on in, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Hello, Leroy.
What's up?
Dan, how are you? Dan Day producing with us here today. How are you, buddy? Wearing your, is that a Zion jersey?
Yeah, walking on sunshine, man. My Dolphins jersey's dirty. I wore it Sunday,
I understand.
Wear it today.
I got, man, you believing in thin Zion? Have you been watching him in the preseason? He looking good?
Kind of like the Dolphins right now. I got no other choice.
I'm with you. I watched that Heat preseason yesterday, and man, I was furious that Myron Gardner went for the tie. I'm like, are we kidding here? We're going to overtime with this thing. And then, in only the Heat, this team, which has been an expert at giving up multiple possession leads in basketball, 7 points is three. And somehow, some way, they were up seven in overtime with, what was there, a minute left? A little over a minute left? And somehow, lost. And I'm just like, wow. This just, chef's kiss. We seem like we're right on pace for this regular season, boys. Right on pace. A seven-point lead in overtime with a bunch of guys who aren't going to make the league. And Keyshawn Johnson's like, here you go, Atlanta Hawks. Would you like the ball?
I mean, if you just get the ball inbounds, they're going to foul
over.
You.
Over.
Right.
Over. It's over. All you have to do is get the ball in.
Right.
This team, my God. There's no way Spo's just like, man, what's going on here? Tell you what, Spo, don't let that happen in the Olympics. Don't let that happen in the Olympics, dude, when the world is watching.
First, you got to get over the timeout thing.
Oh, man. Let's get to our headlines here, which are brought to you by Doral Volkswagen, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Volkswagen or DoralVolkswagen.com. The Panthers lost their first game last night. They lost to the Flyers 5-2. The Cats tied it up in the third period, and it was like, oh, the Cats are going to do Cat stuff. You know, you got Sam Reinhart with the shorty, Sam Bennett tying it up. And then, unfortunately, with about 5 minutes left, the Flyers were able to get the lead. Then the Cats, they were like, we're going to go extra. They got a power play. And they're like, we're going to go extra power play. So they pulled Tarasov, and then the empty netters started flying. So Panthers lose their first game of the season. They're back at it on Wednesday against the Detroit Red Wings. And the Miami Heat, they lost 119-118 in overtime. The big news in that one, honestly, was Bam Adebayo, who left the game with a right knee contusion. So that wasn't great because people on the Heat are dropping like flies.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we don't have a bazillion preseason games because I'm looking around the league and everybody seems to have like three of them. Somehow we have five and haven't won any of them. And what I have is five injured players. So,
is that not the craziest thing? Like, I don't know what it is about sports in general. If you look at every sport, we've gone out of our way to kind of protect players or save them for the long haul. Something that was never done.
Yep.
And more guys are getting hurt now than when we weren't protecting them.
Oh, I'm with you. Yeah, it's very frustrating.
I don't and I've always said to you, you get ready for football by playing football. You get ready for basketball by playing basketball. You get ready for throwing a baseball by throwing a baseball, building endurance. Why has and I don't understand, they say, oh, because guys are bigger, stronger, faster, which would mean don't you have to prepare even better or more for your body to be able to withstand the season? Like, I'm confused by this.
I don't know, man, but it's very annoying. Dominique Wilkins strangely said yesterday, also, he put everybody in Heat Twitter in a frenzy because he said that he was talking to Heat people, and he's like, I'm hearing Tyler Hero's going to be back opening night. And we're like, wait, what? What are you talking about, Dominique? So, I don't know if he has accurate sources
or not. Put it this way. Here's what I would say about Tyler's injury. It's not a broken bone. It's not a torn ligament. It's not any of those things. It's just a bone that was removed.
It was an impingement.
So there's no actual injury. It's almost like getting your appendix taken out.
Bone appendix?
No, just appendix. Like, you had surgery.
Is that science?
No. Yes, you had surgery. And yes, you have to heal, but it's not an injury.
Understood.
So I don't know. Like, I don't know. They said 6 months, like originally, or 2 months.
No, they said 8 weeks that they were gonna revamp it, and then some people were like 8 to 12, and then
right.
Then Tyler was like, I think I saw he did an interview with Jax on Sirius and said, I'm only gonna miss 5 games. And now Dominique Wilkins apparently went on the broadcast yesterday and said that he's going to be back opening night. So, I don't know.
Dominique Wilkins?
Yeah, he's the Hawks broadcaster.
Talking about Tyler?
Yeah. He was like, I was talking to Heat personnel. He was on the broadcast. He goes, yeah, I was talking to Heat personnel because they were doing like a injured Heat. And he came out and he was just like dropping, he was dropping Woj bombs, but Dominique Wilkins bombs.
Okay.
On everybody. Now, I don't know if it's accurate or not. Maybe he misheard. Maybe it was misconstrued to him. But he did say that on the broadcast yesterday. Dan, did you work the broadcast last night? Do you know if Spo said anything about it? I didn't listen to any post game. I'm not listening to post game after last night. I can't.
No, I was not.
Okay. I just was making sure. I don't know. I was just like, what? All right. Anyway, the ALCS, the Mariners, they smoked the Blue Jays 10-3. They're up 2-0 in that series. Two wins away from their first ever World Series, the Mariners. The Dodgers beat the Brewers 2-1. Blake Snell with a gem. And L.A. takes a 1-0 series lead in that one. They'll continue that series tonight. And then we had Monday Night Football last night. Bijan Robinson, oh, my God, 240 yards from scrimmage yesterday. Sheesh. What the hell is he going to do to the Dolphins in 2 weeks? They beat the Bills.
And it wasn't even close.
No.
First of all, did you know that Atlanta has the number one defense in the league?
I did not know that, no.
Right. So there's that.
Makes sense, though. They have a good,
can I just tell you, almost,
good defensive coach.
I almost threw my juice at the TV on a number of occasions.
Why?
Because big ass Josh Allen was scrambling, and they were getting him on the ground. Like, when they got there, they sacked him.
Interesting.
He wasn't,
you could do
flicking
that?
It away. He wasn't flicking it away, breaking tackles.
That's not a penalty?
They was getting his ass on the ground.
How about that?
Like, it was a sack if they got close.
Robbie's chiming in on the chat. He says, Patriots win the division. They're leading the division right now.
Yep.
The division leaders right now.
Yep.
Yeah, I also saw on that run yesterday where I thought of the Dolphins on that that run where the dude slid. Like, I like how everybody's now, their new thing is they get guys wrapped up, but they slide down them like there's grease on them. It's like, it's not even you're whiffing on tackles. Like, they got them, but like they go.
That's how I was. You know why? Big shoulder pads. You couldn't get around me. So then they just slide down and kick your legs through.
No, but seriously, Robinson is going to go for, I was like looking this up. I was like, what's the record? I know the rushing record is Adrian Peterson. That's 296.
Yes.
And then I think the record is something like 330 from scrimmage.
330 from scrimmage?
Yeah. I think that's what it was.
I don't. That's weird because I don't know.
Obviously, that's not counting quarterbacks because quarterbacks have thrown for way over 330 yards.
Yeah.
It's no, I'm like, no, talking it's a running
because
back receiver.
There's been a 300-yard receiver, hasn't there?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Dude, that's just sprints. 300 yards receiving? You went out. You could have
down the IV on the sideline.
You went to practice and did some sprints.
Says Flipper Anderson, 336 yards in
so
1989.
So that's what it is. He had receiving and rushing, and he's a wide receiver. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Which makes it weird. I'm like, you immediately think running back. But if you're running for 296, you're probably not catching no yards.
The point is, Bijan Robinson may be on record watch when he takes on the Dolphins.
Here's what he basically is.
Sorry.
He's a thick A-chan. He's A-chan, but bigger.
Moose. So the Falcons won, and then the Bears, they won yesterday. They came back to beat the Commanders.
You know what's bad about this year? Football is upside down, right? All the teams we thought were just going to roll and dominate or whatever, they've been taking it under the chin. And the teams that you thought absolutely are going to suck, right, some of them have been halfway decent.
Right.
Still a long way to go, right? But what the Patriots have done, when you look at the Bears, how in the hell is San Francisco doing it?
Right.
Right? There's a few teams that Pittsburgh, you can always, here, I don't care who the players are, as long as Mike Tomlin's the coach, they're going to be in the mix. At the end of the year, they're going to be one of those teams, either have a playoff spot or shut up.
Is that you taking credit away from Aaron Rodgers?
No.
A little bit.
No, I'm not.
Kind of.
Did I tell a lie?
No, you didn't tell a lie. Those are the facts, but it kind of feels like that's what you say matter the players, but, you know.
Last year they had Russell Wilson and Justin Fields as their quarterbacks.
Right.
He's just not very fond of Aaron Rodgers.
I don't like his antics.
See, I love his antics, so.
Here's the deal with him. I just think 40, we want to make it like, oh, Aaron's going to come save us. And I'm like, Aaron's 40. 40 going to show up. And no. All right. And so they say, oh, you just don't like Aaron Rodgers. I said, no, this has nothing to do with it.
Yeah, but I think I do think you're right. Like, if you look at this has been especially the conference, it's been basically, right. I mean, it's obviously been run by the Chiefs.
Oh, let me not forget, what the hell is going on in Baltimore?
Baltimore's terrible and injured.
Why did we think Cincinnati was going to be there?
Like Joe Burrow.
What?
Joe
Burrow. Okay, but Joe, even when he's there, they can't stop anybody.
They're dangerous when he's there. Tell me not.
They can't stop anybody.
Tell me not.
Dan would hear you a lot better if you speak into the microphone than to the window. That's a soundproof window.
I am.
No.
I like looking at people when I talk to them.
I understand.
All right.
I need to get him like a headset, Dan, that just follows him. That's what
really?
I would. He's the first person in studio I need to get a headset
or
for.
Or you can turn my little thing up like I do at home. I finally turned up the.
You figured out how to put up the game. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. Well, everybody say I can barely
hear
you. I'm like, my lips are on the mic.
I understand. It was your game.
Right.
Yeah. Shmeen says, Very nice. Talking to the mic, not the window, you idiot.
Good morning to you too, Stephen. Like, jeez, that's like...
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How are you?
There was some.
Not well.
There was carnage on the
Grattan. The city of Miami.
There was carnage on the Grattan.
Everyone.
I'm talking about.
I took the back streets basically once I got to Hollywood. I was taking the back streets. Yeah.
I took some back streets, but even then, they were just. It was like, okay, cool. 2 seconds of free driving, and then, boom,
I couldn't even get. It took me 30 minutes just to get from my house to 75 because there was an accident on a little bridge I got to take over.
One of them brutal days.
Orange Road. So
I
had to go
all
the way
around. Everybody was so froggy today. Maybe it's because it was like...
Back to school. They ain't got yesterday off.
No, they closed
off. Oh, they did have yesterday. Well, some people... Did Broward have off? Or just yours? Just
it's Columbus Day. It's a national holiday.
But Palm Beach didn't have off.
Really?
Mm-mm.
You had school on Columbus Day?
I didn't have school, but my children did. I'm a grown-up.
There is a
you know what?
There is a
you go
of
out of your way to be a jackass sometimes. You know what the hell I meant. Your whole family is in school.
Yes.
Your wife teaches.
Yes.
Your two kids.
They
so
worked.
When I say you had school, you know, I didn't.
I didn't. Yeah. Anyway, so Mike McDaniel spoke yesterday.
My goodness. You know what? Can I just say this? I'm going to blame it on Mike McDaniel when Tua says the way. The things that he says.
Because
he was a rambler.
Yeah.
And he wasn't a rambler before, and then he met Mike.
Totally fair.
And now he's rambling.
Totally fair. He's just got they're like a married couple. They've picked up their traits. It's too they're too similar. But here was Mike McDaniel. He was like, you guys kind of got me after the game. I didn't hear the comments. And so now he's not happy with the comments, with the whole Tua meeting gate thing.
Well, I mean, now that I've heard of them, you know, you guys caught me before I heard them, so it was kind of like, I it doesn't surprise me whatever reaction. I think, regardless of an intent and what was on to his mind after a loss as the franchise quarterback, that's not the forum to displace that. I think he knows that now. I do honestly believe it was not there's no ill intention, but you're talking about I think kind of a misguided representation of player orchestrated film sessions, and the bottom line is no one's going to be happy and always is looking for reasons for failure to succeed. So you're trying to look for reasons that you can attribute to losses, and there's a heavy as the crown of being a franchise quarterback.
RVA Richie just had an counter during the entire exchange, but
he's not done.
No, he's not done. I have more. That was only
apparently
half the answer.
Was 10.
that was half the answer.
My goodness.
But yeah, he's obviously
trying to
has a lot of pissed off players about this, and he's not
like
hey Tua, this feels like a post game a post night FaceTime. He goes, hey man, what exactly were you thinking? Because everyone's pissed, and by the by, didn't do a great job describing of it. Because it kind of makes it sound like I don't know what I'm doing either. Do tell.
I would say this, that the crazy thing about teammates is they know Tua more than they know the comments. And so somebody is going to make fun of him.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, they will.
I don't know.
It's not going to be Like,
it sounded pretty frosty to me yesterday, dude, with some of the players.
No, I get it. But that's just how, like, you move forward. Somebody makes fun of him, and you move on. Like, you listen, regardless of how bad or dumb or ridiculous he said was, regardless, you got to play the Browns on Sunday.
No, understood.
And you're all professionals, and they'll find a way through it. I do believe that. I believe that because I've been in situations where somebody said something and players were pissed off, and guess what happened? You score a touchdown, you have a great comeback, everybody kumbaya. You ain't got to hang out off the field. You ain't got to go hang out on the boat.
You don't, because they made such a big deal of that in the offseason. They were like, we're hanging out. We're the best of friends.
But so
we have the best chemistry. That's all we heard, though.
If
you know what
if that is the case, then you shrug it off to something being somebody saying something stupid, mm-hmm. and not a person putting it on them.
Here was more of Mike McDaniel saying Tua did reach out.
Well, what I do know is that he's directly communicated with a lot of guys, starting with last night, and that's what teammates do. And you live and you learn. And ultimately, I look at it like everything else. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Accountability and our team's performance always lies squarely on my shoulders. So we know that as well, but the focus, to beat the, Cleveland Browns and fix this, fix what we need to get fixed in our game to, go attack the next opponent. There's nowhere in that lies, anything but focus on what we can do individually and how we can attack this work week, and everything else is not leading us into the direction of solution.
Yikes. Okay. What? I lost. I got lost.
It's understandable.
Look. What I would say is the best thing that Mike McDaniel could have said was this. As a leader of the team, when you do something like that or say something that's that ill-advised, you fix it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that entails.
I'm going to keep it in-house. I don't know what Tua did, but as a leader, he's got to fix it.
What would you want? Would you want presence?
Huh?
What would you want from Tua to fix it?
First of all, let's start with the basic fundamentals of making a mistake. Guys, what I said was stupid. I went too far. In no way, shape, or form am I making anybody else on this team any less or more responsible for what has happened on Sundays than me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want anybody to think that. I said, so.
Do you think he comes on Wednesday with a prepared statement for the media?
No. I mean, he can't. Here's why. Because he's never done it before.
That's what I'm saying.
Serious you can't. All of a, now all of a sudden you go think
you think
about
he should let it rip again?
Let it rip.
Anytime he lets it rip, something bad happens.
But here's the problem.
He needs a teleprompter.
Here's the problem. And here's the problem with all of this stuff. You know what the first thing everybody's going to say?
Hmm?
It's not sincere.
If he what? If he doesn't shoot from the hip?
If he reads something.
I don't know.
That's what people are going to say. He's in a no-win situation.
Who
so just go up. Listen, if I'm going out, however I'm going out in life, I'm going out being me.
Who can he speak to about this? Can he talk to, like, Chad Pennington, like, boring QB talk? Who can he just go to and be less stuff
here,
to a?
I think the most important thing that I heard about Tua is that I think at times, and this happens with people, they're tone deaf. Like, they know what they want to say. They know what they want to relay. So they say it the way they want to say it without thinking of the ramifications of how people are going to receive what they're saying. They only look at it from their perspective and what they want to say.
Here's the thing, though. There are also times when people go to the media and they just want something out there because it's really bothering them. Even when, because in this situation, he wasn't asked anything that pertained to this, which is what made it weird.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so.
Call that dry snitching.
Yeah. And so, like, that's one of those things where, like, you just ask a question and it had nothing to do with what you asked at all.
Yeah, that sounds like his coach.
You know? Yes. Well, that's just everything he has is just how he is.
Right.
But I don't know. I think it's one of those things where he needs to find some way. Because, yeah, when I heard when all the linemen came up yesterday and they're like, we have no comment. We keep everything in house. I was like, ooh.
Because here's the other reason why they might say something like that. You're immediately reading into it like,
oh, why would I do that?
You gonna let me finish, or
are
you gonna keep?
Of course, you know, I would always.
Is that maybe Tua went to talk to them, and maybe he said things straight, and they didn't want to have to talk about what he said, and the way you do that is you cut it off right at the beginning by saying that, because if you say, "Hey, did Tua come talk to you?" Yeah. Well, what did he talk about? Well, what did he say? Mm-hmm. And so you say, "No, we're gonna keep it in house." End of conversation.
Or you take the tone of that and you say, like, all the things you're saying could be true.
Right. But I'm just saying.
I'm not being nefarious about it.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not.
Yes,
I'm not, dude.
You don't.
We're going to show you how it's done, loudmouth. Watch this. Keep it in house. No comment.
Also, could be done to prove a point.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that they're not cool with Tua.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm sure they. I think
it could be something along the lines of, "Hey, somebody might get up in front of the meeting and go, Tua, see what we did yesterday, right?" Like,
just goes. Tobin's middle name is nefarious.
Right, I know.
That's not fair, dude. No, that's not very really, nice.
Like he. Here's the problem. First, you give me the look, and the look when you say no. I'm being serious. No, you're not.
I am.
You're not.
I am, dude. Smeathan says Tobin is nefarious. Such a bastard.
Wait, so why do you get on me?
Because you guys are like the Dudley boys of fat shame.
No, I'm not.
Like you are.
No, I'm not.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Leroy, can we get a weather update from Chill Zone AC? Feature the reliably rude AC systems. Make your AC great again. Visit chillzoneac.com.
Open to the window, Plex. I tell you what, pleasant morning again. We got a light breeze coming out of the east. As you can see the plane right there, going right to left. That means the winds are coming out of the east in some fashion.
Where?
Over here. Look, right there. See the left?
I see clouds.
No, you don't. You see that plane? Oh, it just went to the clouds.
Nah, I don't see it, dude.
All right. But the planes are going from right to left. So they always take off into the wind. So if you want to know which way the wind's blowing, you look up and see where the planes are taking off from the airport, you know it's coming in the opposite direction.
There's one.
See which way it's coming?
Is it going that way or
no,
is it going around?
No, it's going
around?
Straight across.
You sure, dude?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Hey, I'm a professional. Stop messing around.
All right.
It is a little more cloudy than it was yesterday, but that's morning coming off. That's that.
It's that anti-Bob Seger, you know what I'm talking about?
No.
He said against the wind.
That's when they take off. Against the wind.
We've been running against the wind.
Anyway, I'm going to say it's in low 80s. Probably a slight chance of rain. It looks a little more cloudy than it was yesterday. So I'm going to go ahead on and increase my chances of rain So you might get a shower.
J-Fig almost Jalen Phillips did.
My bad.
She almost Jalen Phillips did.
What, missed the tackle?
Yeah, she almost knocked over my coffee with her little mic stunt.
I was trying to help people hear you.
Mm-hmm. You want to help? 10 o'clock.
Wow!
Don't leave!
That was good.
Please!
Point for Leroy!
Wow. Keep it up!
Got him!
Yeah. I just learned what gaucho was.
Shoosh.
And I am excited.
Al Macko says, just turned in and saw Leroy standing up, thought he finally snapped on Tobin. I feel like we're off to a good start today. You know? Nobody's calling out each other for meetings, you know? I am wondering about this tackling thing that's going on around the league, though.
You know why? It's crazy. You know why?
No football?
You're not playing football. Dude, what did I tell you? The hardest thing to get ready for in football is to tackle and be tackled. You have to know how to fall. You have to know how to be tackled. You have to get an idea of, one, how many what guys trying to yank the ball from you. That's things you all get in the preseason. So all these guys that get put on the shelf until the season starts, and then you're wondering, oh, when I got thigh bruise and this and that, because you never been hit. You ain't played football since last year. What the hell you think is going to happen? You ain't played football in 6 months.
A lot of slipping down, guys.
You got to, like, yeah, man.
You think Jalen Phillips has gotten over it yet?
What?
The play.
No. Dude, I'm telling you, I still remember almost every bad play I had in my life.
Man.
All of them. Fumbles, everything. Because football, and I try to explain to people, of all the sports, football is the most negatively reinforced.
You think he's nice to his cats, or you think he takes it out on his cats when he gets home?
Nah, you most players do a good job of leaving it at, you know, which was what Tua was trying to say when he said, I go home and watch cartoons with my kids. Right. It came across like, I don't give a damn about football, but we knew what he was trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, yeah, man, I remember all. I remember. I want to say my last game of high school. It was 4th and 1, and I didn't get it.
C Dollar says it's Tuesday. I'm sure it's still on his mind. I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know they always say they say 24-hour rule.
No, but here's the problem.
I feel like that's a 72-hour play.
No. Here's the issue. You ready?
Back. Run it back.
24-hour. It's 24-hour rule. Yes, you watch film on Monday. You go at it on Monday. You get a little run in, and then once you leave on Monday, then it's over. That's the 24 right. hours. But Tuesday's your day off, okay? And on Tuesday, you ain't getting ready for the Cleveland Browns yet. You ain't even talked about the Cleveland Browns. You still got that stink from Sunday on you.
I feel like Jalen Phillips has the hoodie up when he goes to Bolle the next day.
Bolle? he need to go somewhere else because Bolle got Ole in it, and that's what's happening.
Got an order for Jalen? Jalen, anybody see Jalen?
That's not how
Jaylen?
That place works.
How does it work?
It's no. Like a Subway's, but it's like bowls.
Right. Yeah, well, but they can pick up orders.
No, but they just put it on the little thing. Yeah.
Do
right
they?
There. Yeah.
I haven't been to one in a while.
I'm in and out on Bolle because sometimes
it's
like
foo-foo Chipotle.
I don't like
bowls.
I know. I do. I'll call and get you a little bougie bowl,
mm-hmm.
and I'll because Mel and Rebecca like it. So I'll get it, and I say, yeah, I'll go pick it up. And then they tell you what time to pick it up.
Can I ask you a question? Can we have a trust tree? I know this is 2025. We're trying to advance as a society, and I don't mean to be sexist here.
Right.
Any guys like Bolle? Like, legitimately.
I told you, Rebecca and Mel like it.
No, I know.
I learned about that place from my brother. So. Yeah,
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, I go there, and they say, pick
Dan,
up.
You like Bolle?
I don't know what Bolle is, so you got me.
It's right. Literally like what I said. It's go in. There's like a whole setup, yeah. like a Subway. As you walk in, you order what you want in your bowl, and then that's
and
like,
it's
like
it's supposed to be healthier.
I just feel like it's ponytails and yoga pants when you walk in there.
I've only gone once. So
anyway, I order it.
Don't cancel it. It tells you
to come at X amount of time. I drive all the way over there. I go to pick up my food. It's not there. Mm-hmm. And they go, we got busy. I said, so I shouldn't order and pay up front. I should just come and wait in line because they get priority service. Right? And the lady's like, well, we'll be done in a second. I'm like, you didn't answer my question. Like, what is the point of ordering ahead of time if you guys are going to get busy and not give a damn about the paid people online? I said, just let me know. I'll just come in.
Are you still laughing about Bole?
He is truly the worst human to deal with. Really? Did what I say not make any sense to you, jackasses?
Why am I laughing? Because you know what I'm actually picturing? I'm picturing like Jalen Phillips goes to a Chipotle or whatever establishment, and like he gets his order, and he goes, hey, I appear to be missing something. He goes, oh, didn't finish the order?
Were you the one behind the counter? Because it sounds exactly like something you do.
That's tough. That's sorry. Almost kind of like not finishing a sack. Anyway, here's the rest of your order, Mr. Phillips.
I tell you who I would immediately go and try to get Bill Callahan.
The O-line guy?
Yeah. No, not to be head coach.
Just to be the O-line coach?
Dude.
I don't think there's any help in this crew.
No, I'm telling you.
You did see the Titans O-line, yeah?
Huh?
You did see the Titans O-line, yeah? It was rough.
Yeah, it was rough.
It was rough. I also saw that Cam Ward had a story come out, but it was quotes before the coach got fired. I'm like, oh, that's a tough look. Because he's like, once I play the way I want to play, this league is bleeped. I was like, oh, no.
Right.
They got him.
So here's – I always wonder, and we had this conversation a little bit yesterday, if you guys are ready to get rid of everybody,
mm-hmm.
don't you have to have an answer?
Mm-mm.
No?
Not yet.
You just wing it?
Right now, we just
Do you understand? The reason why you're in this position because of winging it.
We need the satisfaction
you,
of cleaning
You do
house.
Understand. The reason why you're in this situation now is because of winging it.
Let me
to make decisions after instead of before.
Here's what I want. I want the satisfaction of cleaning house. If I get just Mike McDaniel just as a sacrificial lamb, I don't necessarily want that. Because that means Chris Greer's still here.
No, but...
But the satisfaction of cleaning house... You ever walk into a clean house? Satisfying, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know you're going to mess it up. Your chips will be all over the place eventually. Dog will poop somewhere.
Okay,
but when you walk in to a clean house, satisfying.
You know I deal with fans every day.
Yeah.
Right? Every day. Throughout South Florida.
Right.
And... When it's time to fire somebody and just go through it, fans seem to be the most understanding. Until you're going through it, and then you start hearing stuff like, I'm not dealing with this. This team is bad. I'm not renewing my ticket. I'm not going to these games. Okay, so you understand that the powers that be feel the same way, and they're trying their best not to have to go through that for another 2 or 3 years. Because as understanding as you are right now when it's time to fire the old regime, without knowing what the new regime's going to be, right, don't sit here and say you're going to be patient.
All right, well, first of all, fans have been patient. I mean, it's been 25 years since the playoff win. I do think that needs to be out there.
We'll revisit this next year.
But hear this out, okay? They've gotten worse every year under the head coach.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And the GM is not a person that we believe can give answers.
Correct, because
to be patient, which would piss a lot of fans off, what do you think the chances are those two figure it out? Good? Mediocre? What do you think the chances are that a Chris Greer... Mike McDaniel regime gets it figured out. And I'm not even saying to win a Super Bowl. I'm saying to win a playoff game.
I would say there's a bunch of things that are absolutely positively kicking them in the junk right now based on their decisions. One, When you when the strength of your team and what you think will be the strength and the most reliable portion of your team is the worst, that means you made a mistake somewhere. You made some assumptions that just weren't there.
Yep.
The other thing is, and this is where it goes sideways for Greer, whoever's making the decisions. One, all the good players that you actually brought in, you couldn't re-sign because you brought in all these veterans.
Mm-hmm.
Two, now that you decided to go in a different direction, it puts more pressure on your draft picks, and you don't have the patience to wait it out.
Yeah, nor is he good at it.
Right. And I'm going to give Chris Greer some credit for this. If you go over the last 5 years and look at some of the draft picks, he's right on par with the success of what first, second, third round draft picks are. So, like, we the only reason why we're saying he sucks at it is because we because the team sucks, right? And the team's not any good.
Genuinely,
and the players,
the players to be and, good to get the record.
Yeah. Well, and the players that were good aren't here because he couldn't afford them. So that's another problem.
He could have afforded Van Ginkle.
Sure. Again,
misevaluation.
Right. No, it like again. So now you have. And what is the worst position in football to be in? The worst position in football to be in is either one, your team is too young with no veterans, or two, too old with no youth. Right? There's not an, if you look at all the good teams, there's a nice mix to where you have guys who aren't who are on their first contract with some veterans that have been around, with some veterans that you brought in, right? It's for the last 3 years, it's been one or the other. It hasn't been a mix of either.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the – if you look at how teams are built, that is the problem. The other problem is that you built a team based on – nothing that none of the good teams are building teams on. Offense and defensive line. Offense and defensive line. If that was your starting point, then whoever was at wide receiver or running back would be able to have success.
But here's the thing that I would say to that, okay? He has tried. He's invested a lot of draft capital
in what?
Offensive line and defensive line. He has.
Yeah, but Christian they're not here. That's my other – I started off by saying that.
Austin Jackson, always hurt. Liam Eichenberg, sucks. Jonas Avaya-Nya, trade up, he's the worst. Patrick Paul, maybe he'll be good, but you can't say that they haven't used – he's just not good at evaluating them. He picks bad players.
But here's the other problem. Okay, let's be clear. You're going to say the further down you go in the draft to draft somebody, the more development.
I mentioned the first and second round picks.
They may.
Those are first and second round picks.
Okay, but Patrick Paul was a first round pick last year.
He was a second round
pick. Second round pick last year. He sat, right? They say he's pretty good. You know, all I've heard is that he's pretty good.
Yeah. What about the other three that I mentioned?
Because they're young and they don't.
Liam Eichenberg's not young.
Not Liam Eichenberg. Liam Eichenberg is, wow, how did he get hurt? He ain't hit nobody.
In 2013, two brutal murders left the city of Davis, California, paralyzed in fear.
The victims were an elderly couple. It was up close and personal.
I'm 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty. I thought I had seen it all until I encountered the mastermind behind those murders.
I think the word is psychotic.
This is 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders. Follow and listen to 15 Inside the Daniel Marsh Murders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.